Well, if you think you like the last 2 hours, you're going to also love the next 2 hours. Lee Harris joins me as we talk about his work, Energy Speaks, Messages from Spirit on Living, Loving and Awakening, and How to Navigate Through the Planet with Your Spirit Guides on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Let me tell you a little bit about Lee Harris, globally acclaimed energy intuitive with Transformational Guide. He offers practical teachings focused on helping conscious, intuitive, and sensitive people heal, thrive, live a better life. Leading a very vibrant online community, he reaches hundreds of thousands of people every month. His monthly energy update videos, audio recordings, online courses offer guidance for navigating life with empowerment and optimism. Back a year ago, he launched his Impact the World and Own Your Own Values courses, exploring his passion to mentor creatives, healers, and entrepreneurs on how to bring their gifts and talents into the world. His book here is Energy Speaks. And Lee, welcome to Coast.
Hi, George. Great to be here. Looking Thank you for having me.
And by the way, you did a great job for us in our Beyond Belief television taping. I really had a great time with you on that.
Oh, I really enjoyed it too. So thank you.
It's fun. Television's different. Radio, you can sit back and relax with your socks on. TV, you got to get all dressed up and do your thing, huh?
It's so true. It's funny, just before we came on, I was sat here thinking, wow, your show is very telepathic because everybody is connecting from all over the world and everyone is in their own space. It is very different to when you have the visual.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. And when you let your mind do the wandering, it's just amazing what it can do. Lee, tell everybody how you got started in this. This is an interesting story.
So when I was 23 years old, actually, so 20 years ago now, I heard the voice of my guides. And I was on the train in England, where I lived at the time, where I'm from. And I was on my way to work, and I was sifting through all of the thoughts in my head, and many of them were negative at the time, things that I didn't think were going well for me or that weren't going right or that I could have been doing better. And literally that morning on the left, I heard this voice say to me, "That's an interesting theory, but you're wrong." And I'd never heard that voice before. It certainly wasn't like any of the voices in my own mind. And I had this back and forth conversation with it where it explained to me how I was seeing this problem I thought I had wrong. And once it explained what I was seeing, I was kind of blown away by the answer. And from there, I asked, you know, what is this? And I was explained that we are your guides. And we've been here all this time. You just haven't been able to hear us in this way until now.
And we all have these guides, don't we?
You know, I absolutely believe we do. And for the people who have a problem with the idea of guides, what I believe in is just universal power. So the reason the book is called Energy Speaks is because energy speaks to us everywhere. So sure, my guides speak to me and they are energy in form. But for all of us, we're connected to a wider spirit, a higher perspective, and we can all access that whether we're connecting to that or whether we're specifically connecting to guides who are here to help us with our destiny path.
With Lee tonight, we're going to talk about channeling, intuition, empaths, healing, and his book, of course, Energy Speaks. This is remarkable how people can control their own abilities and do amazing things like channeling, using your intuition. It's a gift, isn't it?
You know what's so funny is what I think is that so many of us were trained away from these gifts, and that as children, when we come in, we are innately wired to be curious, creative, playful, intuitive, and sensory. And then as we interact with our, you know, cultural and collective training, it gets knocked out of us. And so I've not met one person that I don't believe has some level of sensitivity or intuition, but I think so, we're so steered away from it, that the innate gift that we have, that it can take time to reaccess it, or in cases like mine, you suddenly get slammed back into it in a way that you aren't expecting.
Let's talk about channeling for a moment here, Lee. What, in your opinion, is channeling?
So for me, the channeling is especially in the form that I do it, it's when you are able to relay messages from a source that is bigger than you, whether it's a guide, whether you are channeling the voice of someone who has passed over, whether you are accessing spirit or source, or for some people, they would experience that as God. So for me, channeling, I characterize it as a very auditory experience, a one where you are hearing and relaying messages. For other people, I also say that channeling can be an act of creativity. So those who create music are channeling, those who work in art or get very in the flow with this recipe that they're creating. I think we're all channeling different energies all the time, but in my case, I specifically identify with the auditory side of channeling.
Now, when you channel, are the messages coming to you or do you go out and seek them?
No, they come to me. It's interesting. I never feel like I leave my body. I feel like my body expands. And so at the moment, while we're talking, if I wanted to turn my attention to my guides, I would literally hear them off to the left of my head and a little bit above my head. But if I bring them through me and I channel them verbally for an individual or a group, I feel them coming down and through me. So my own mind doesn't have time to process what they're going to say beyond about the first three or four sentences. It's kind of a direct conduit of energy that comes through, but it comes down and through my body.
You call your spirit guides Z's. How did that happen?
When I asked if they had names, there was some humor. They said, well, we don't really have names in the way that you have names, but we know it's important for you to have a name. So they said, you can call me Zachary. I'm the lead spokesperson. We are 88 entities who then extend wider into source, but I'm the lead spokesperson for the guides. Over the years, I met a couple of others, and they gave names beginning with Z. So it was actually people who followed my work who started referring to them as the Z's, because for a while, I would differentiate who was speaking. So sometimes it was a Zachary channel. Sometimes it was Zyadora or Zachariah. And at a certain point, they all just became a collective again. It was around 2013, and they said, we're no longer going to separate. We're no longer going to separate out the female and the male voices, because it's time that your society reintegrates the male and female energy. So we now are going to just speak as one again. And so it was actually the people who followed my work who would refer to them as the Z's, and it just kind of stuck.
Interesting. Now, with these guides, these Z's that you have, how were they assigned to you? How did they find you?
Apparently, it's a contract, and that's what they told me. When I've asked questions about it, they say that a couple of different things. They say some of the members of the group I have known before in other lifetimes, which apparently is very true for all of us. Not unlike the family that you're born into. You often have known at least most of the members of that family before. Sometimes we get new ones, but there is some kind of connection. So they explained to me that they're assigned to me, but they are not just assigned to me, especially as my work is public. In a way, I was the person who was the bridge for them to come through and speak to a group. So they were assigned to me from birth to steer me through childhood, and then when it was time and I was ready, I was able to hear them.
Now, these aren't your so-called guardian angels, or are they?
Well, it's interesting. I met a couple of angelics in the group, but they're a whole range. So they say that some of them have been incarnate before on Earth. Some have never been incarnate on Earth. Some of them refer to themselves as a voice of galactic source. And as a whole, they call themselves a consciousness library. But I did meet a couple of the angelics, and it was very interesting. It was across a weekend where I was literally bringing different aspects of the whole group through my body, and this was being facilitated by my then partner at the time. And the angelics really didn't like it here. I remember they didn't have much language. There wasn't a great deal of verbal information they shared. But all I remember is one of them saying, it's dark here, it's dark here, and they wanted to get out, which I kind of made sense to me, because I think that, you know, to be on this planet, we are surfing density and light. And so I thought that was interesting.
Is their mission, Lee, to really bail us out? I mean, would they step in if something tragic was happening to you or about to happen and save you?
I don't know if my personal mortality is that important in the scheme of, you know, the world. And I also, they don't have a perspective of bailing us out. What they speak about is they speak about the predestined nature of this time that we're in. So they will say, there's a lot going on right now, and this is a very intense time of transformation on your planet. But as much as we do have free will to some degree, and we can alter certain events in our life and certain events as a collective, all of this is far bigger than us. And they say, even in terms of the universe, what Earth is going through right now has a connection to what is being experienced in the whole universe. So they've given me warnings. They've definitely given me warnings a couple of times, but they don't tend to see it as a need to bail out situation in quite that way.
Interesting take of that. And channeling, you believe, is critically important this moment in history. How come?
You know, I think one of the things that I have encountered over and over again is people tell me that they are secretly channeling. You know, whether it's the CEOs of multi-million dollar businesses or people who have interviewed me but don't talk about the fact they channel themselves, or just someone I meet at a party who knows what I do, they'll come up, they'll hold my hand, and they'll go, I channel too, but I'd never speak about it. And to me, channeling is just part of a balanced diet. You know, we need yoga, we need good nutrition, we need channeling. You know, it might be one of many things that you do for your spiritual fitness. Or for, in some cases, like it was with me, it can be a real spiritual catalyst and a very important part of your spiritual learning. But I think it's critical right now at this time in history that anything that we have been steered away from through fear, or where skepticism or stigma has been created around it, I don't see that as good for anybody. I think that everybody is here to be a piece of the puzzle on Earth and explore who they are and really bring who they are to the world. And I think there are many ways that many of us have been trained and discouraged away from our natural intuition. And so for that reason, I always encourage everyone to channel. And I say, hey, at the very least, just pick up a pen and paper and write down, what does my soul want to tell me today? And then write down what comes to you. And don't worry too much. Is this a guide? Is this the universe? Just see if you can start to go beyond your own mind with that act of communication and see what difference it makes in your life.
Lee, how do we know that we're not being tricked by some of these spirit guides, that maybe they aren't spirit guides, but maybe they're something else? Demons, for example. How do we know?
Well, yeah, I personally, I don't have those kinds of experiences, so I can't speak for somebody who talks, you know, or believes they're having a demonic experience. Mm-hmm. The one thing I would say is, and I say this countless times to people, you know, we don't give our power away to a person or a spirit that is asking us to do something that we feel uneasy about, and we always have to trust ourselves. And I come across this, people will say, oh, well, my spirit guide told me to do this. And I'm like, well, how is that going for you? And they go, well, it's going awfully, but because my spirit guide told me to do it, I keep going. And I'm always like, no, this is a co-creative relationship. And a spirit guide is also not in the human body. So if ever you have a spirit guide that is telling you to do things, it's very important to check your alignment with that. A spirit guide, think of it as a council or somewhere that you can go to seek opinion in much the same way we do of our good friends or our family members. We go and seek counsel and then we see how we feel about it. So at best, really, it should always be a co-creative relationship. The one thing that I have also heard spoken of, a very good friend of mine, Wendy Kennedy, who is a great channeler, she actually said that early on in her channeling training, her guide said to her, go and eat an apple. So she did. And then they said, why did you do that? And she said, because you told me to. Huh. And then they said, well, you don't do anything that we tell you. They said, as above, so below, it's important that you decide what you want to do with our information or the information of any human being on your planet. And I think the reason we often give our power away is because certain religions entrained us to do that, and because our life and our training has asked us to move away from our own inner knowing. So it takes time to rebuild that.
Lee, when we pray, who are we praying to? Are we praying to our God? Are we praying to the spirit guides, to angels? Who are we asking for the help, truly?
Well, I think who we're asking for the help for is our own personal focus. So one person will say, well, I pray to Jesus. And another person will say, I pray to the Great Spirit. But the prayers are being answered energetically. Because if you sit there with a focused intent and an open heart and a directive for something that you are asking or surrendering in your prayer, then you're actually creating an energetic ripple effect into the world. So prayer is so powerful. And especially given we can often all have fragmented or tricky thoughts or reactive thoughts, a conscious thought in prayer or a spoken word in prayer is a very powerful rewiring of your state of being, your intent, and your hopes and dreams for the future. So it's, to me, those prayers go into the universe, but for each individual person, they might be praying to a specific person, place, or thing.
Why do some of them prayers get answered and others don't?
I think it really depends on the individual. That would be a tricky question for me to answer without having a few case studies in front of me, because
yeah.
I've met people who, you know, they say they're praying for something and it's tapping them on the shoulder and they're ignoring it because they're so fixated on the way they thought that thing was supposed to come to them. Equally, I've met other people who have low self-belief around the power of the universe. They want to believe it's true, but they haven't had enough support or experiences. So, and then I've met others who are living at that vibration. For me, the trick is always practice. And this is what the Z's say. They say the more you practice something with regularity, so the more that we practice gratitude and noting our blessings in life, the more we will see our blessings. So I think that's a tricky question to answer generally, but I think it's a great question because it's something that's at the root of a lot of frustration for people who are trying to have a spiritual experience in a certain way, such as prayer, and are not necessarily getting the results they want. So I would say start practicing other spiritual things too. Don't just stick with prayer if it's not giving you the full experience you're looking for. Try some other spiritual practices and see what works for you.
Lee Harris is with us. We'll take calls with Lee next hour. His book is called Energy Speaks. His website, leeharrisenergy.com, is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Lee, you're still putting out your courses. We're going to talk about that as we get into the book, Energy Speaks. But what was your moment, your big moment, where people said, I like this guy? There was some point in your career, something happened. When did it click?
Well, here's a funny story. I remember about 4 or 5 years into doing private readings, and I began those 15 years ago. And I actually stopped doing them last year because I was doing all the other work. But I would get email after email from people thanking me for what I did. And it was about 5 years in that I know this might sound crazy, but I kind of took it in for the first time. I just wanted to do a good job, and I felt a sense of responsibility, but it took me about 5 years to take in what it was I was doing and the effect that it was having on people. I'm also British, so, you know,
I couldn't tell.
We're trained to have a certain emotional reserve, and so I think in terms of people thinking they like me, obviously we all experience that in different ways. And there are some people who like us and some people who don't. But I love serving the people I have served.
Well, and you can tell you do. You truly do. Lee, we'll come back in a moment. We're going to talk about intuition next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Lee Harris with us as we talk about Energy Speaks. Lee, intuition, you're intuitive. Tell us what it is.
Intuition can be a couple of different things. So some people have intuition and they see it as simply messages they receive. So you might be sat with a friend and you suddenly get a message about them and feel something about them and you want to often give them that message, or certainly that can be the case. Intuition for me is also a body-based response, though. So this to me is really important. You know, if you think of the third eye, which is basically positioned on our head, one of the things that we know is that the brain is also mirrored in the stomach, and there are mirror neurons. So this is why people often say, trust your gut, because it's the other intelligence center. So I'm a big believer in listening to intuitive messages, but also listening to the body. So if somebody says, hey, George, come to Mexico with me next week, and there's no reason that doesn't seem like a good idea to you, but something in your gut, something in your body doesn't feel good about it when you tune in. So some people have both. Some people have one or the other, but generally I find that that's how people tend to identify intuition.
And you are an intuitive yourself, aren't you?
Yes, and I get both. So I'm very body-based, and I have quite a strong empathic reading as well. So when I work with people intuitively, which is different to my channeling, I will basically be receiving messages for them about them, but also tuning in on what's going on for them physically and energetically to try and help them calibrate with where they want to go. So it's a little of both for me.
Lee, what was it that kind of catapulted your resonating with people? Because you've got thousands and thousands of people who really understand you now.
You know, I think if it's anything to do with me, it's probably consistency. The fact that I've kind of been out there doing it for a long time. But I actually think it's more to do with the time that we're in. I'm seeing a growing wave of people are needing different voices, different teachers, different spiritual leaders, different facilitators. I think there is an enormous rise on the planet around consciousness, which was long predicted. And so I think all of us are needed, not just people like myself in the public eye, but us sitting at the dinner table, being able to be the emotional leader for the table, and perhaps starting an emotional or a spiritual conversation and helping guide that with family members or friends who are perhaps hungry to talk about it but aren't used to talking about it. So they're a little more uneasy than you are.
You teach people how to use their intuition. Tell me how that works.
Well, you know, it goes back a couple of questions. One of my favorite things to teach people is what I call the body test. So let's say you have two options in front of you. And one is this weekend you're going to go away with your friends, and the other is this weekend you're going to stay at home. And you really can't decide because you can see pros and cons for both. So what I invite people to do is if they can't get an intuitive answer that comes to them in words or mentally, just give your body about 10 seconds with each option. So 10 seconds to sit quietly while you consider going away with your friends. How it feels. And then when you've done that, focus on staying at home for 10 seconds and see how your body feels. And it's amazing how your body shows you the difference. And what you're looking for is the one that feels most expanded, most open, most relaxed. And usually whenever I've got people to do that in workshops or in small groups as well, people can report that they feel a difference. Again, all we're doing is reconnecting to the inner senses we already have, but that we have long been trained out of using.
How many people, Lee, make the mistake of not reacting to their intuition, and instead they just kind of sweep it under the carpet, and then later on they go, oh my gosh, I should have, I knew.
Well, you know, I think we all do. I mean, I just went through a recent, I like to call them refining lessons, where I recognized a pattern in my body. It was a dear friend wanted me to do something. And again, it seemed logically like such a great idea, but something in my body wasn't quite right because I love this friend and I was swept up in the moment of the group. I said, sure, let's do it. And then a few days later, lo and behold, I'm like, No, I can't commit to that right now. That's too big. So I had to remove myself. And it was another reminder to me that just to really pay attention to all of my faculties, how I'm feeling things. So I think we all go through that. The one thing the Z's say is that life is constantly rerouting us. Some people panic and they think, what if I miss my opportunity? And the Z's say we're all on a destiny path. And the details and the timing of when we get to those big destiny moments is all movable. So it's a little like if you take the wrong turn when you're driving. The GPS will reroute you. The map will reroute you. And life is doing that to us all the time. So I actually see and have learned through those experiences of kicking myself, because it's actually been me getting a little more calibrated so that the next time when I get the same feeling in my body, I'm like, oh, no, I remember this from last time. And this time I'm going to say no.
Now, what did you mean by transformation? You talk about that.
Yeah, transformation. Well, do you mean in terms of the world right now?
The world and the individual.
Yeah, we're going through such a transformation on the planet. The way the Z's have talked about it is they've talked about the history of this planet the last few hundred years, and that we're really at this breaking apart moment. So what I've noticed is what we can all do, and we're of course all doing it too, is we look at what's going on politically around the world with the health of the world and the environment. And, you know, alarm bells start to go off for people. And people want to solve or fix those problems very quickly. And I understand that. But what I also always encourage people to do is to understand the transformation that we're in as a world right now is outer and inner. And so many people are having big emotional reactions and triggers and healings inside themselves to the things that are taking place around us. I mean, for example, the Me Too movement has been an enormous and still very early stages healing around the disempowerment and abuse of people and women specifically. But I think that power abuse wave ripples around the world and dredges up for people their own personal history. So it's interesting because spiritual messages, including from the Z's and other people, have talked about the rise of the feminine at this time. But I think we forget that when we're going through big transformation, big evolution, there is healing that needs to take place as well. So this period that we're in can be very intense personally. You know, there can be uncomfortable things that come up. You can feel disoriented. You can feel confused. And if you know that that's par for the course right now, and you figure out what tools and what practices you need to help stabilize you while we go through these very intense times, then you tend to do better in the whole thing, and not only better serve your own life, but better serve the transformation of the planet as a whole.
What are empaths and sensitives? I always used to think sensitives were people who cried too much or something like that.
Yes. Well, I think most of us who might see ourselves as at least somewhat sensitive, most of us have been told we were too much at one time or another. Sensitives can, you know, like any group, there are many different kinds of sensitive, just as there are many different kinds of empath. But sensitives are people whose senses are highly attuned to things that other people might not be focused on or experiencing. So, for example, some sensitives have real problems with Wi-Fi technology and electronics. Other sensitives have very strong senses around hearing. So for them, a noisy restaurant or a noisy place is jarring to them in a way that someone else, it has tuned that out, or they've never really opened that level of sensitivity. I think that the role of sensitives and empaths at this time is that many sensitives and empaths are just a little ahead of the curve as to where society will be a good 30, 40 years from now. So they are slightly more acute examples of levels of energy and senses that we are all beginning to become more.
Is it good to become a sensitive or to be a sensitive?
I think it depends which sensitive you talk to and where they're at with their process. I know for me, there were times that I had really excruciating moments around being an empath and a sensitive, but for me, that just made me work harder to figure it out. And I was always someone who was very pro personal development and self-growth. And I needed it because I had a really tricky teenage life in my inner world. So basically, I think it depends who you speak to. When sensitives and empaths understand that they are sensitive and empathic, then everything in their life starts to A, make sense, and B, they start to find ways to live that are healthy for them rather than trying to fit themselves into the box that everyone else is in and suffering as a result.
For people who show a lot of empathy, you have to give them credit, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, people who have a lot of empathy really help the feeling. They help to normalize the feeling level of the planet.
They sure do.
And that's sure if they're not stuck or struggling. But, you know, you think of the person that you meet in a room and they care. We all want to be cared for. Every single one of us wants to feel that others care for us. And vice versa, most of us want to care for others. So I feel that those who are empathic and who are able to either be very demonstrative with their empathy, or perhaps they're more introverted, but they can sense that there's something going on for you. So instead of putting their finger on it verbally, they just do something for you that they won't seek any credit for, but perhaps they just, you know, they walk you to your car and they don't talk to you.
Or they open your door or something.
Exactly. Just a little loving action or a loving word. And empaths and sensitives tend to be wired that way.
You've got an audio recording called The Way of the Sensitive. Tell us about that.
Yes. So this just came out this month. I have a monthly members club and I create an audio for them every month. But it is also just available through my website if you're not in the portal, which is the members club. The Way of the Sensitive is Aziz channel and it has some sound healing. And it talks about, you know, given we are in this massive evolution as a planet, what do you think is now happening to the people who've been awake for, you know, in some cases, decades? Because there are many, many on the planet who have been the way showers up to this period of time, or perhaps for 40, 50 years, you have been someone who's been very conscious and holding space and waiting for the rest of the planet to start waking up. Well, the Way of the Sensitive details from the Z's how now you as a sensitive are going through your shift as well, because you no longer have to hold a flag in the ground for the rest to catch up. Now they are catching up and beginning to pop open. Now you are going to go to another level in your life too. And it speaks specifically about new practices. So for some people, it will be it's time to deepen your relationship with your body, whatever that means for you. Could mean going for a walk once a day. It could mean becoming really, you know, very exercise focused or looking at what you're putting into your body nutrition wise. For others, it can be making sure that they have community, play, new things in their life. So it really is a kind of message, not just for people who feel they are opening as sensitive, but especially for those who feel they've been that for a long time, but don't really know where to go right now, feel a bit confused.
Do you think people who are truly empathic and sensitive have been developed as children, and you can tell by looking at a little kid, hey, you know, that person is going to grow up and be very empathic to people?
I mean, I do. I don't know about you, George, but I feel that's true. And
I do too.
I think it's very evident. And I've noticed that those, and I was definitely one of those kids, you know, and I developed an eating disorder very early. I was taken to Weight Watchers age 10. I struggled with compulsive eating and weight gain all through my teenage years. And I'm not different to all the other sensitives that I've kind of known for, who've heard this story. If you are wired that way, you find your way out. You might go into the darkness for a while, but most of us have managed to find our way out and break out of it, because you can't fight your nature. That's the really interesting thing that I find about us as human beings. We can all have many different experiences and different people who influence us, but we cannot fight that nature that we came in with.
What if you try, though? What if you try to battle that? What happens?
It goes badly. I think it goes very badly. I've witnessed people who try to, and when I say your nature, I mean your gifts and how you're wired. And whenever I've seen people try to fight who they are or change who they are to fit an outer circumstance, rather than celebrate who they are and, sure, you know, perhaps develop a new skill, perhaps say, I'm sensitive and I also now want to develop becoming physically strong. So I'm going to focus on that because that's not my natural thing so far. That's different. But people who fight their nature, they're very tormented and very wounded. And you tend to see that. You know, I often look at people like we see in power in America right now, and you feel the torment in their behavior.
With the gifts that you have, whether it's channeling, intuition, healing, which we'll talk about next hour, which one is the one that you would not want to give up?
Wow, that's a really big question. Good question.
Not give it up. You had to have it.
No, I have to have it. You know, it's a funny question because music was my passion for so long, and I still do music. But all I could say to you right now is I've devoted 15 years to channeling intuition, self-growth with people. I can't imagine not doing that right now. I mean, who knows? Maybe, you know, years from now, I'll change path. But I just can't imagine that not being here. So I would say if I had to give everything up, I would ask to keep my intuition.
That's interesting. That is interesting. Because without it?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because I've had 20 years with the channeling. So I've managed to really ingrain a lot of those teachings. So and I think we're here to have a human life. So if you said to me, you can lose your channeling ability, your intuition, your creative or your musical ability, I would be devastated to lose my creative music ability or my channeling.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I would remember them.
Right.
And
you could live without them.
Yeah, without my intuition, which I have calibrated because of my channeling, it would be like being willing to give up my legs at this point. There would be an enormous loss and an enormous change to me as a person.
Lee, let's talk about Energy Speaks, your book, and also healing, and we'll take calls next hour on Coast to Coast AM.